We are starting chapter 31 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, called The Third Task. And there's a little picture of a lion with a woman's face.
Oh, interesting.
Dumbledore reckons you know who's getting stronger as well, Ron whispered. Everything Harry had seen in the Pensieve, nearly everything Dumbledore had told him and shown him afterward, he now shared with Ron and Hermione, and of course with Sirius, to whom Harry had sent an owl the moment he had left Dumbledore's office. Harry, Ron, and Hermione sat up late in the common room once again that night, talking it all over until Harry's mind was reeling, until he understood what Dumbledore had meant, but a head becoming so full of thoughts that it would be a relief to siphon them off. Harry stared into the common room fire. He thought he saw Ron shiver slightly, even though the evening was warm. "And he trusts Snape?" Ron said. "He really trusts Snape, even though he knows he was a Death Eater?" "Yeah," said Harry. Hermione had not spoken for 10 minutes. She was sitting with her forehead in her hands, staring at her knees. Harry thought she, too, looked as though she could have done with the Pensieve. "Rita Skeeter," she muttered finally. "How can you be worrying about her now?" said Ron in utter disbelief. "I'm not worrying about her," Hermione said to her knees. "I'm just thinking. Remember what she said to me in The Three Broomsticks? I know things about Ludo Bagman that would make your hair curl. This is what she meant, isn't it? She reported his trial. She knew he'd passed information to the Death Eaters. And Winky, too, remember? Ludo Bagman's a bad wizard. Mr. Crouch would have been furious he got off. He would have talked about it at home." "Yeah, but Bagman didn't pass information on purpose, did he?" Hermione shrugged. "And Fudge reckons Metamaxine attacked Crouch," Ron said, turning back to Harry. "Yeah," said Harry, "but he's only saying that because Crouch disappeared near the Beauxbatons carriage." "We never did think of her, did we?" said Ron slowly. "Mind you, she's definitely got giant blood, and she doesn't want to admit it." "Of course she doesn't," said Hermione sharply. "Look what happened to Hagrid when Rita found out about his mother. Look at Fudge, who jumped to conclusions about her just because she's part giant. Who needs that sort of prejudice? I'd probably say I had big bones if I knew that's what I was getting in for telling the truth." Hermione looked at her watch. "We haven't done any practicing," she said, looking shocked. "We're going to do the impediment curse. We'll really have to get down to it tomorrow. Come on, Harry, you really need to get some sleep." Harry and Ron walked slowly upstairs. As Harry pulled on his pajamas, he looked over at Neville's bed. True to his word about Dumbledore, he had not told Ron and Hermione about Neville's parents. As Harry took off his glasses and climbed into his four-poster, he imagined how it must feel to have parents still living but unable to recognize you. He often got sympathy from strangers for being an orphan, but as he listened to Neville's snores, he thought that Neville deserved it more than he did. Lying in the darkness, Harry felt a rush of anger and hate toward the people who had tortured Mr. and Mrs. Longbottom. He remembered the jeers of the crowd as Crouch's son and his companions had been dragged off from the court by the Dementors. He understood how they felt. Then he remembered the milk-white face of the screaming boy and realized with a jolt that he had died a year later. It was Voldemort, Harry thought, staring at the canopy of the bed into the darkness. It all came back to Voldemort. He was the one who had torn these families apart, who had ruined all these lives. You want to stop there?
Okay.
All right, we'll continue next time. I love you so much, kitty. You gonna take a nappy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sleep well, boo. Good night, kitty.
More later tonight, right?
More later tonight, yeah.
I love you.
I love you, kitty. Good night.